You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. We're back at Radio Rehab at the Pump, WEOA 1400. Always exciting stories from people in recovery from drug and alcohol abuse and addiction and their recovery. And I'm excited because they're willing to come here and share with us their experience, strength, and hope so that others that are out there may feel free to call in and ask questions, make comments, concerns, whatever. Today we have a really neat little guest. This is the first person I've ever interviewed under the age of 18. So this is exciting that we have a teenager that is 18, sorry. And her story and her path, because young people definitely have a story also. So I'm excited to introduce you to her. Her name is Allison, and she's a student here in Evansville at high school, has great goals. Hi, Allison.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today.
This is really, what should I say? I know this takes a lot of courage for you to come on here and talk.
Definitely.
Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
What made you decide? Have you ever been interviewed before by anybody?
No, this is my first time.
This is the first time you've ever told your story in its entirety. Mm-hmm. What do you think motivated you to do it this time?
Well, you don't really see anybody, any teenagers or anybody young, talking about stuff like this. You mostly see middle-aged, older people.
Oh, no, I know what you mean by middle-aged, too. 30, right?
People older than me.
Oh, no. So do teenagers see us adults as older?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I don't really know what you would classify as older.
Yeah, I'm teasing. But do you as a teenager feel that you can talk freely to adults about your feelings and your thoughts?
For the most part, yeah.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Is it easier now for you to talk to people because you have quit using?
I'd say that definitely had something to do with it. Definitely.
So when you're using, it really blocks you off from people, doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
So how did an adorable high school girl like you with goals of growing up and contributing to the world, how did you get started? Tell me about you. Where you went to school, what your family is like, how many brothers, sisters, what some things were you thought, what do you like to do? Just a little about you.
Well, I was born and raised here in Evansville. I go to North, and I started using alcohol when I was... I think it was my sophomore year or so, or toward the end of my sophomore year, junior year, starting. And I can't really say it was peer pressure. Like you see most of the teachers and everybody saying nowadays, it's peer pressure. And I guess that's what made me feel so bad, because there wasn't really, when I got drunk, I wasn't out with other people. I was at home alone by myself. And so I guess that's made me feel even worse, like something was wrong with me, which most likely contributed to the using.
God, that's interesting that when we tag it on to peer pressure, we're leaving out mm-hmm. a whole population of young people that like using alone.
Yeah. And I guess I was scared that I had seen what happened when I was drunk alone, that I definitely didn't want to be in public with other people being drunk, because I knew that that would not be good.
Do you remember, and this may be a far-fetched question, please tell me if any of these questions are, do you remember what went through your head when you started drinking alcohol that first time?
The very first drink that I had, I was so scared. But I don't know. I really don't know why I tried it. I guess because I thought it would be cool. But
by yourself?
Actually, it was my dad who gave it to me to begin with. He was the one who actually told me that I should try.
You think for the taste or really try it for the effect?
I honestly don't know. But, I mean, I was really nervous and hesitant about it, honestly. But I think more or less because, you know, I'd never tried anything like that before and I didn't know what would happen. But deep down inside, you know, being a teenager and just wanting to try new things, you know, it was right there and I had the opportunity. So
Dad was giving it to you.
Yeah, and I mean, my parents were there too. My mom, dad. And so, I mean, I tried it and it was disgusting. It was horrible. It was so hard not to, to actually keep it down. But, for some strange reason, I actually kept going. I guess, you know, in a way to kind of make my dad proud, I guess, in a way.
What do you mean? Just that you could hold it down? Were they laughing, thinking it was cute? You're trying.
No.
Was it beer?
No, it was actually Bacardi.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was taking a...
I mean, were they just
doubles
curious?
Doubles of Bacardi.
Good God. Were they just curious to see how you would react to it, or were they...
I think that's kind of how it was. I remember the first time they made me walk a straight line, and I almost fell into the TV.
So the first time you drank, you got drunk.
Yeah.
And you did not like it.
Well, I didn't like the taste, but the feeling wasn't bad because it seemed like everything got better, mm-hmm. per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was funnier, kind of.
Yeah, I think alcohol was probably invented
yeah.
to give people that effect where things get
yeah.
better. People can drink socially and it takes mm-hmm. the edge off and they relax.
And I think it was the first and second time I actually got drunk with my parents. But after that, I just kind of started drinking alone. And I guess I kind of started to experiment with it. And, I mean, I pretty much just stayed with Bacardi. And I would try drinking it with different stuff. Like, I tried Dr. Pepper and Ski and just different things with it.
So did your parents know you were dipping into
yeah.
that? They did?
Mm-hmm.
How and as often long, were
well,
you?
Well, it started out, it would be once a month. Maybe twice every 3 months, and then it got down to about once a month, and then once every, you know, 3 weeks, once every 2 weeks, once a week, twice a week.
Oh.
My dad say, "Hey, you know, I'm kind of thirsty. Are you?" School night, gotta go to school in the morning, getting hammered.
By yeah. yourself still?
Pretty much.
So, were your parents drinkers?
Not heavily. I mean, nowadays they don't. I think pretty much they kind of saw me go down the road and they kind of just stopped. I mean, they haven't drank since I stopped. So
did they at all consider just not having booze around the house?
My mom did.
She My got mom, rid of the booze?
She, well, once I kind of finished it off, she kind of didn't really buy anymore.
So that cut into your supply.
Pretty much. And at first, well, we kind of didn't really run out until 9 months ago, which is when I stopped. So I've been sober for 9 months.
Congratulations. So, Allie, did anybody know besides your parents that you were into drinking? Did school know? Did any friends know?
Well, actually, two of my friends knew from my math class, actually, because they both drank too. And so we would go in and it'd be kind of like our little private AA meeting. And we'd say, you know, I've been sober for a day or 2 days, you know.
So you all had a little pack of trying to quit together?
Well, not necessarily trying
or
to quit,
trying
but
to
just
drink together.
How long we've been sober before our next go at it.
So did it seem like a game?
I don't know if it was necessarily a game or more or less a need. Like, at first, it just, I guess it was kind of a game, more or less. And it was one of those things where it was nice to have. It was nice.
To have the booze?
Yeah.
And to have a secret? And
I don't know if it was more or less because it was a secret, because, you know, I've kind of held a lot of secrets in my life besides, you know, the alcohol.
But you have?
Yeah.
So even before your drinking experience, you accumulated a story of your life?
My whole childhood, our whole family's been good at keeping secrets.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Yeah, it's sort of like, don't take our stuff out of here.
Mm-hmm. My dad always said, what happens in the house stays in the house.
Code of silence.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things.
Which isn't bad if there's no secrets. But if there's secrets and there's stuff, that's hard. Mm-hmm. And you're the oldest, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So how many brothers, sisters?
I have one little brother and one little sister.
And you're the oldest, so are you kind of the junior mom?
Pretty much. I have been since they were born. Mm-hmm.
Take care of everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. I learned at a young age what to do and what not to do to make my parents angry.
And taking care of your siblings was a way of keeping them happy.
And keeping Emily and Evan safe, my brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've known you for a little while, and you're pretty responsible. So already you've had to go to school full-time, work.
Mm-hmm.
What is your goal then to graduate high school and go into college and into the working career? Or is
Definitely.
Your dream to go get married, have kids, and raise a family? What are some of your...
Well, right now I'm not really worried about marriage and family and kids right now. My main priority is on school. And I'm going to graduate in May.
That's awesome.
And then I'll be going to college right afterwards. I'll be starting off in June.
So have you always been pretty goal-oriented?
I tried to be for that period that I was off course there. I had other things on my mind. Mm-hmm. But I've, for the most part, been trying to stay on task, try to keep the whole college thing going.
Do you think most teenage girls right now are pretty goal-oriented, or do you think most teenage girls are... more in the moment and what feels good at the time? Or
I think deep down inside, every teenage girl is goal-oriented to a point. Now, those goals aren't necessarily good goals, I have to say.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because I have to say, even... I've had goals in life that weren't exactly the best goals, and I know there are plenty of people at my school who haven't either. But, I mean, I think for the most part, teenage girls are pretty goal-oriented. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we try to keep goals that, especially now being seniors, I've watched most of my class start out, and... I mean, yeah, a lot of them had other things on their mind, but for the most part, most of our class is starting to get goal-oriented, and they're like me, trying to go into college. So I think, yeah.
Do you think young people get a bad rap by adults?
Yeah, and I understand why. We kind of think we're pretty smart and... can do anything.
Well, you are pretty smart, and you can do anything, but...
But that kind of attitude tends to get us in trouble, and and I have to admit, I know I'm bad at asking for help.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure most other teenagers are, too. It's just one of those, I'm a teenager, I can do anything attitudes, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been good at asking for help, though. And so I guess that's probably what contributed to my sobriety.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your drinking and it becoming a self-medicating kind of escape for you, do you think a lot of that was because you were hurting and just didn't know how to ask for help, and here you found this liquid stuff that took it all away for a while?
Yeah, in a way, I think that's probably true. I think that it probably was my way of fixing
numbing
things.
Out. Mm-hmm. You think that's why most teenagers drink?
I think that could definitely possibly it. I think some drink, you know, due to peer pressure. They start out because of peer pressure.
Because everyone else, all their peers are...
Yeah.
Yeah, doing it too.
But, I mean, I think that's how it starts out a lot. And then it just kind of turns into one of these self-medicating mm-hmm. things.
Kind of takes on a life of its own.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were going to work with teenagers like yourself,
mm-hmm.
what would be your first line of action to get to someone like you that you see is hurting or shutting down? How would you approach someone like you?
I would give them attention, definitely, because I guess in a way that was kind of what I really needed, because
yeah.
I mean, people were there, but they weren't really there. People walked in and out of my life like nothing. And I guess what I really needed was a friend, I guess.
And that is a hard thing to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you see the world as dog eat dog.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I used to, when I worked in the schools, I would hear people make comments about a young person. For example, oh, they just want attention. And I hated
yeah.
that. I was like, well, give them attention then. That's
yeah.
not a crime to want attention.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've been sober for a while. Your parents
yeah.
got rid of the booze. They figured it out.
Yeah.
Your supply got dried up.
Well, they knew all along that I was. And I guess they didn't really care until I actually told my grandparents about it. And then because I promised them that I never would, that I never tell anyone. And of course, like I said, I had told other peers of mine mm-hmm. because we had the whole private AA meetings. But I actually told...
In math class.
Yeah, in math class, which I should have been paying attention, but instead I was having...
A plus A equals sobriety.
Exactly. Yeah. But I had... like I said, I had actually told my grandparents, and they were upset, but they supported me through it, and that's when I actually tried to do one of the Alateen meetings,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
I went to, I think, two of them, and I had been sober for probably about a little over a month, and going there, I couldn't handle
now,
it.
Alateen's more for teenagers who have a parent.
Yeah. And see, when I was referred there, the person that referred me didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
it's not public knowledge, I guess.
Yeah. And going there, it was kind of awkward.
Since you were the drinker yourself.
Yeah. And so I kind of explained my situation to them. And then they found it kind of awkward, too.
Yeah.
And so I have to say I did actually leave. So at the time when all this actually happened, I was 17, so I was kind of too scared to go to AA meetings. I figured only old people went there, you know, crazy old people. I had heard terrible stories about AA meetings, so I was too scared to go anywhere near
so
there.
In the adolescent world, AA is taboo, huh?
Well, we had always talked about, you know, that, hi,
old
I'm
people.
Allison, I have a problem, AA meetings, you know, but, but,
God,
I don't
AA
know.
Is the greatest thing that's ever been given to mankind to help the alcoholic, but I could see where teenagers have their own opinions about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
but you had your own little meeting in the math class, so you knew
yeah.
it would take some support.
Yeah.
And that's really what
well,
AA
see,
is.
The problem,
it's a support group.
The problem was, they weren't exactly the kind of support that I needed, considering...
What, your peers in your math class?
Yeah. Considering they were, you know, rooting me on to continue drinking.
Oh, yeah,
not
that's
to
not good support.
Stop.
Ooh. So you stopped in spite of them, huh?
Yeah, and they're still on their road. And I mean, I tried to stop them, but there's only so much you can do.
That was going to be my next question then. How is life now that you have stopped? And is that your goal now, to stay stopped? Or do you see yourself in college?
Well, I mean, I have worried about when I turn 21, how that's going to go. But I mean, right now, I can't really worry about it. I mean, technically, it's illegal for me to purchase alcohol. And I mean, if I really wanted it, I know people that I could get it from. Sure. But I mean, I've been clean for 9 months.
Congratulations.
So, I mean, I'm excited. I want to hit the 1 year mark, so that'll be really exciting.
And you are 18 and quitting drinking.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of 18-year-olds
start drinking.
That's kind of cool. You're quitting drinking. So what message would you have for other high school girls that have started to use alcohol alone and in their own little closet, drinking themselves into oblivion? What would you say to that girl or boy?
Honestly, I don't even know what I would say. I mean, you hear people out there saying, well, it's not cool, you don't have to, there's other things you can do. And I mean, that only goes so far. Yeah, when I was drinking and I heard people say that, I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. But I mean, I don't know what I would say to them that would actually sink in. I mean,
well, I think it's interesting you said just somebody being there.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't even you'd want to say anything to them. Maybe you just want to let them know you've been there, and if they ever want to talk, you're not going away.
Because I don't know if there is necessarily anything that you can actually say to someone that will actually
trigger that quit button. Yeah.
Because there was nothing that anyone actually came out and said to me that made me stop. I mean, I told a guy at my church about it, and he helped me get into AA or Alateen, whatever you want to call it.
So is church a support group for you, a spiritual net?
Not necessarily. I mean, not that many people know there. And I kind of rather keep it that way because, I mean, I don't know. I'm not big about talking about myself.
To the world.
Yeah. And I mean,
well, I'm glad you came on Radio Rehab, and we definitely don't use anybody's last names that
don't
want us to. So,
Well,
we've got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
Tell us now, is not drinking comfortable for you now? Are you okay with not drinking? You sound committed, like you have a goal to not drink till you're 21. But how do you deal with all those feelings now that you aren't drinking?
Well, at first, I have to say, I actually felt bad because I would have, I guess, withdrawals. I would still, like, even up to today, I still have, you know, feelings and wantings to drink. And I always thought it was, like, really bad. Like, I shouldn't be having these. And then
it's pretty normal.
And, I think it was listening to your show that I kind of figured that out. I figured that out somewhere. I think it was listening to
when
your show.
When something's a part of your life like that and it numbs you out for a while, sometimes you miss it.
And for a while, it was kind of weird because right after I stopped, I didn't really know what I should be doing.
With your time.
Yeah. It's like, what do I do now?
What do you do?
Now I kind of, I have to say, I do study. But I have a group of friends that are a really good support for me.
That's awesome. So you filled up the space with friends, with school. And you know what? That's what adults have to do, too. And AA can fill that hole.
Yeah.
The friends.
You
get to go to school and see people every day. Adults go to work, but AA can become a friendship circle, too.
Yeah.
Well, I really, I know you are very private, so I appreciate you coming and telling your 17, 18-year-old story of a drinking history there. And one thing I definitely learned and want to pass on to the community, that we need to not assume that peer pressure is the root of
definitely.
Most drinking. Yeah, that a lot of kids are drinking because they're doing it alone and they're doing it because,
Yeah.
And that's interesting. You said, you know, with the peer thing, it made you even feel worse.
Like, yeah, gosh,
because something must really be wrong with this one, even peer pressure.
You see all these kids out, especially you see in the movies when you see teenagers drinking, they portray social. Teenagers. It's always social.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's getting more and more popular where people just drink at home.
Numb out alone.
Yeah. Hmm. And, I mean, of course there are people that go to the whole raves and parties and stuff,
sure.
But, I mean, I never did that because, like I said, I was too scared of what would happen. And I never drank and drive before because I know that I'm not afraid to admit that I definitely was not able to drive when I was under the influence. And
wow, you've just painted a picture, a whole new profile of a teenage drinker.
Mm-hmm.
That they aren't all drinking and driving. That they aren't all out at the parties. That there's a lot of teenagers.
Yeah.
Making good decisions, but drunk every chance they get. Wow.
I mean, and what was even worse about it was at the time, when I first started, I was actually one of the head people that taught Sunday school at my church. And
my
so
God, the profile what changes made me, as we speak.
Yeah, what made me feel even worse was the fact that I would get up Sunday morning with a hangover.
God. Alice.
And trying to teach these little kids.
Oh, my.
And I had my friend who would assist me in doing that. And I'd come in saying, I got a headache today. Can you? I'm definitely going to need some help today.
Well, everybody, Allison has definitely helped us see that this thing of drinking and using other substances can happen to anybody. Sunday school girls in school with goals, girls that aren't out partying, boys that aren't out partying. Listen, just for the Tri-State and Radio Rehab, if any of you have questions or comments, concerns, please call WEOA The Pump, email us, write us your questions, concerns. Allison will answer them for you. I'll try to answer them. If we can't get the answers, we're going to get you the answers from somebody. But that's what Radio Rehab's trying to do, bring you the real deal, the real people, real stories. Thank you, Allison, for coming.
No problem.
Anything you want to say in the last minute?
Just be careful in that you don't have to go with peer pressure. That there's someone out there that is willing to talk to you. You just, if you're drinking, then you are probably overlooking them.
Yeah.
Because there were plenty of people out there that I could have talked to that I kind of just overlooked because of the alcohol.
Great message.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No problem.
If you all want to hear Allison on the World Wide Web, you can go to www.lisaseifcares.net and hit podcast, and you'll get to hear Allison on the internet. Allison, thanks so much for sharing your perspective as a teenage girl. Tri-State Hang On. We'll be back again Saturday, 11:30 for your call-ins. This is Lisa Seif signing off. Don't forget to do the next right thing.